Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Puma Podcast.
In March 2019, an audio technician living in Metro Manila did something he hadn't done before. Ricardo Bergado was able to take a bath using only 7 pitchers of water. "I even saved the bath water to flush our toilet," Bergado said in a report published around that time by the foreign news agency Agence France-Presse. It wasn't a gimmick, nor was he chasing clout. It was a coping mechanism. Bergado, together with other residents living in the eastern portion of Metro Manila, had run out of water. During this period, some taps have gone dry for as long as 20 hours or more a day, some even longer, according to several media reports. As a result, millions were forced to step out of their homes to line up for hours, waiting for water tankers. Understandably, the service disruption also affected restaurants and hospitals. Besides taking orders, wait staff had to help save and store water for their restrooms and kitchens. Meanwhile, one public hospital in Metro Manila was forced to stop admitting patients because of the water shortage, the same Agence France-Presse report said. And as the summer of 2019 intensified, water supplies quickly ran out. 5 years later, as we bear the heat once more this summer, we are now prompted to ask, will Metro Manila have a repeat of the 2019 water crisis? Will we need to shore up our own supplies of water soon? Or should we brace ourselves and limit our water use, just like Ricardo Bergado 5 years ago? These are the questions that we will try to answer in this episode of Teka Teka News. This is Buji Basilio, Puma Podcast. You're listening to a special feature produced with support from the International Media Support and as part of a collaboration project with Indonesia's Suara and Malaysia's Maharanda. Please stay tuned. Maynilad, the West Zone distributor, was given an allotment of 2,400 million liters of water a day, or MLDs. Manila Water, which served the East Zone, only had 1,600 MLDs. In total, both Maynilad and Manila Water received a supply of 4,000 million liters from the Angat, Ipo, and La Mesa dams, the primary water sources of Metro Manila. Owing to the shortage, authorities asked Maynilad to share some of its supply with Manila Water. 5 years ago in March, water stored in the La Mesa Dam was rapidly depleted. As a result, residents in the eastern portion of Metro Manila had gone for almost 24 hours a day every day without seeing as much as a drop of water from their faucets. How did this happen? And why was the other half of the city, the western portion, able to supposedly manage the shortage better than its eastern counterpart? Let's try to answer the second question first, because it's simpler. Why was the West Zone of Metro Manila been able to manage the shortage slightly better? Residents in the West Zone, which included the city of Manila, enjoyed a better supply situation because it had higher water allocations. To enable the water sharing arrangement, Maynilad and Manila Water both had to reopen and rehabilitate pipes that were sealed off in 1997. The pipes were closed up during that year because the government divided Metro Manila into two zones, and awarded water distribution contracts to the two companies that now serve each area. But in 2019, more than 20 years after water distribution was privatized, the government did the opposite. It asked both Maynilad and Manila Water to reopen and rehabilitate its pipe connections so that one could share supplies with the other. The water sharing arrangement was initiated by Patrick Lester T. Currently, T is the chief regulator of the Metropolitan Water Works and Sewerage System Regulatory Office. According to T, in the summer of 2019, people were upset over the service of both Maynilad and Manila Water.
People got mad at both of them. Remember, there was no water from the tap for more than a week in Manila Water areas. That's actually the biggest problem. The public can accept water interruptions if they would have water at least several hours per day. There would be no 24-hour cycle that there is no water because all they need to do is just wait at their house, basically get water to store well enough water. Manila Water customers need to go out and get water and bring it inside. And because of that experience, I have to explain to Manila Water mainly that if anything happens to the other side, we need to immediately have a protocol to help the other because we cannot have a water crisis. So in 2019, we asked them to reopen several cross-border points. They basically opened it by building the infrastructure again. Because sometimes those pipes, they cut the pipes or they close the pipes and they decommissioned it. So they have to build new pipes again to connect their system again. And that's one of the things that we implemented and that we imposed on Manila Water and Maynilad, that there should be a cross-border arrangement for Manila Water and Maynilad to share water in case of emergencies and in order to supplement each other if there's an El Nino. You cannot let Manila Water suffer and Maynilad do not suffer. You need to share the pain if there's a need. We forced Maynilad to help.
Owing to regulatory pressure, Maynilad agreed to share 50 million liters of water a day with Manila Water during the summer of 2019. But Maynilad only managed to provide 15 MLDs instead of 50. Manila Water said in a special report about the crisis that is posted on its website. After all, Maynilad still had its own customers to worry about. However, the inability of Maynilad to deliver on its promise was just one of several reasons that explain Manila Water's situation. So let's go back to the first question. Why was the eastern portion of Metro Manila waterless for almost 24 hours a day every day in the summer of 2019? The answer isn't as simple as it seems. We'll pause for a quick break. When we come back, we'll list down the reasons behind the water shortage in the east zone of Metro Manila.
Hi, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Teka Teka News. We're so glad that you do, and we'd love to get to know you better. Our team is hosting a small gathering on May 2 from 6 to 9 p.m. in Makati. If you're free to join us, check out bit.ly/tekadinner for more details. See you there!
The reasons behind the East Zone's water shortage were a combination of factors, both obvious and not readily apparent. First, there was hardly any rain that fell from 2018 to 2019. As a result, the buffer that was stored by Manila Water in the La Mesa Dam got depleted. In 2019, the water level at the La Mesa Dam reached 74.87 meters, more than 4 meters lower than the average of the year-end levels of the past 10 years. The stored water was rapidly depleted, and in the first week of March 2019, it reached an all-time low, Manila Water said in a special report about the crisis found on its website. Second, around that time, the Metropolitan Water Works and Sewerage System decided to divert some supplies to the Bulacan bulk water system that serves several towns in the province. Because of this, the supplies allotted to both Manila Water and Maynilad were reduced further, however slightly. That reduction had dire consequences for Manila Water. The third reason, paradoxically enough, was brought about by Manila Water's efficiency. In 1997, when water distribution services were privatized, only a quarter of Metro Manila's population had 24/7 water access. Almost 20 years later, 1 million Manila Water customers enjoyed round-the-clock service, even though the supplies it got from the MWSS remained the same. So how was the company able to serve more customers and expand coverage areas using the same amount of water allocation that was set 2 decades ago? Manila Water was able to slash its levels of non-revenue water, NRW, or systems losses, water that is lost to leaks or pilferage. In short, it was able to improve its water supply because the water it recovered from the leaks was directed to other customers and was used to serve other areas. By 2007, or 10 years after it secured the East Zone concession, Manila Water's non-revenue water levels were already at 11%, surpassing the global standard of 25%. Currently, Maynilad's NRW is 43%, according to MWSS Chief Regulator Patrick T. Despite Manila Water's strides in reducing its NRW levels, the company knew that it was only a matter of time before its supplies would run low. No matter how much water it saved, which it still was contractually obligated to fulfill, the company could only do so much. After all, the population of Metro Manila would keep on growing, and such growth would only fuel demand for additional supplies of water. And this brings us to the fourth reason behind the water crisis of 2019. Projects to increase water supply in Metro Manila were delayed. The Liban Dam remains incomplete despite being proposed in the 1980s during the regime of President Ferdinand Marcos Sr. Another additional water source was the Rizal Province Water Supply Improvement Project. The project was approved in 2015, even though funds for construction work were already prepared and appropriated 2 years before. Had the project secured approval earlier, it would have helped shore up reserves of Manila Water. During that summer of 2019, Manila Water needed 1,750 million liters of water a day, or 150 million liters of water more than it got from the MWSS. The Rizal project was supposed to help cover that deficit. But around that time, on top of its delayed approval, one of its components broke down, according to Manila Water, the Cardona Water Treatment Plant, which was supposed to collect and treat water from Laguna Lake, wasn't able to provide supplies as quickly as expected. In this connection, at that time, the National Water Resources Board also rejected proposals to dig up new wells to shore up sources of water. All these delays had a cumulative effect on water distribution in Metro Manila, according to Patrick T., the MWSS chief regulator.
If the project gets delayed, then it will have an effect on any spike in the demand or in a reduction in supply or climate change, El Nino, which will reduce the supply of water to the public. So if a project gets delayed, another project should, in theory, be able to bridge the gap.
And produce raw water in the meantime.
Remember, that supply then was really, really, really tight already, and they dragged their feet to approve other projects, which was a mistake.
T also emphasized the importance of developing new water sources.
If you build a dam right now, let's say a dam is delivered today, you'll have like buffer. You don't build another dam the next year. So that surplus will keep on
will be reduced,
and the population will keep on increasing. So the buffer is reducing every year as the population grows. That buffer. So you need to keep on developing. You cannot develop a buffer in a straight line in parallel with your population growth. It's really a spike. Then you wait for a few more years before you spike again as the dam is delivered. So,
but hopefully during those
years,
walang crisis takes place.
Unfortunately, in 2019, that's exactly what happened. Because of the lack of new water sources, Metro Manila experienced a water crisis. And on a related note, this brings us to the fifth reason behind the water crisis 5 years ago. The water sector became too dependent on the Kaliwa Dam, which is expected to provide an additional 500 million liters of water a day. However, that project took years before it got off the ground. Patrick T. explains the implications of this delay.
Basically, all the eggs were in Kaliwa Dam, and they realized that it will not be delivered on time because the original schedule for Kaliwa Dam was by 2019. Of course, we all know that they haven't delivered that. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to deliver that. And it's now from 2019, it went to 2022, then 2023, then 2025. Now it's 2027. So we all know that we should not put all our eggs in one basket. Just to be clear, that one of the responsibility of developing new water sources is left with the corporate office. Manila Water and Maynilad and the MWSS corporate office are building new water sources or tapping new water sources. And the corporate office is developing Kaliwa Dam. Kaliwa Dam is being developed and it's being targeted to be delivered by 2027. So that's to answer for the growing population of Metro Manila. But we're not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Patrick T. isn't just repeating age-old advice from investment gurus. As with income streams, so it is with new sources of water supply. To this end, the chief regulator has helped the water sector look for non-traditional ways of increasing supply. One of them is called a direct potable reuse.
I'm not sure if you've heard, but the Philippines is the first in Asia to do a direct potable reuse. We're the only country in Asia that's doing it. We're the third country in the world that's doing it. No, other countries are normally doing indirect potable reuse, but in the Philippines, we are doing direct potable reuse. This is basically from the wastewater, it goes to a wastewater treatment plant, then it goes directly to a water treatment plant, then delivered to the public. Unlike other countries, they will release the treated water effluent to a natural buffer, then harvest it and treat it, then distribute it to the public. But in this case, we bypass the Laguna Lake and goes directly to from a treatment plant, goes directly to a water treatment plant, then it goes back to the system. We don't release it to the natural body. It is pumped to a water treatment plant immediately, and then it will be distributed. The reason behind this is that the effluent water is actually cleaner and more consistent than the water in Laguna Lake.
Standard. It's a function of the pollution in the Laguna Lake.
Kumbaga. Yes. Okay. And because of the climate change, the alga, because there's a lot of fish pen, there's a lot of it's industrial areas inside that. So the quality of the water in Laguna Lake fluctuates as well. So sometimes there's an increase in
nitrogen levels,
manganese or algal. So because of that, it leads to plant shutdowns and inefficiency. So that's why it's actually easier and more stable to treat the wastewater from the treatment plant than pump it directly. The reuse water is now being provided in just certain barangays. It's not for the entire system yet. We're planning on expanding it to increase the capacity in the Paranaque Water Treatment Plant and in doing it in other areas like Pasay and Marikina. Right now, we're just doing 10 MLD. The plan is to expand it to another 10 MLD in Paranaque, then probably another 10 MLD from Pasay. So expanding to another 10 to 40, 50 MLD.
With the potential offered by direct potable reuse technology, will Metro Manila finally be able to avoid any water shortage in the future? Patrick T., the MWSS chief regulator, isn't exactly enthusiastic.
We don't want to rely on water direct potable reuse because it's also expensive. It's not going to be the major source. It's a supplement. It's cheaper than desalination, but it's still going to be more expensive than treating water from the dam.
Mr. T's remarks reveal that the water agency, as well as both water companies, remain focused on developing new water sources down the line. After all, it's still cheaper and more practical than direct water reuse, which costs 3 times more than water from natural sources.
So we required Manila Water and Manila to fast-track all these new water source projects that's in the pipeline so that it can be delivered, or at least partially delivered, before the El Nino hits us. We're also developing other water sources like the Wawa Dam, and there are other projects that we'll be looking into in order to address the growing population and the growing needs of Metro Manila. We have prepared already. We started the preparation even before 2023. So we are confident that there will be no repeat of a water crisis. We're supposed to be safe until 2037. I am confident up to 2026 we're okay. After that, I think we are also okay. But it also depends on a lot of factors, because you never know what will happen down the line. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the presupposes that these projects get delivered. Mm-hmm. Within a reasonable period. Even if we project or we factor in for a certain delay, as long as that delay is minimal, then it's okay.
Again, that was Patrick T., chief regulator of the MWSS Regulatory Office. Puma Podcast was able to interview him in January this year. Based on his projections, Metro Manila is likely to enjoy sufficient water supply this year and the years to come. But that doesn't mean that we should take our water resources for granted, especially during El Nino.
The most important thing I could relate to the public is to conserve water because it's not infinite. Only 2% of water is actually, of all the water in the world, is actually potable. And around 90% of that is actually not accessible. It's in the ice caps, in the Arctic region. So you can't really access all of that. So clean potable water is limited. So I hope that everybody should understand that they should conserve water. And the most important is the most expensive water is no water.
And that was today's episode of Teka Teka News. Again, I'm Buji Basilio. This special feature on water resource management in El Nino was made possible with the support of international media support. Pidoy Blanco edited this episode. Our executive producer is Jill Carroll, and our senior news editor is Veronica Uy. If you found this episode useful or interesting, share it with a friend or two. And thanks for listening.